This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com. This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
So here's the question that could decide it all. Was Donna Adelson the cold, calculating mastermind of a murder-for-hire plot or just an overbearing mom who said too much, signed too fast, and let her adult son run wild? Because that's the real choice jurors are facing here. Guilty architect or clueless matriarch? Prosecutors want you to believe Donna was pulling strings behind the scenes like a mob boss in Pearls. That she didn't just know about the plan to kill Dan Markell. She set it in motion. The emails, the checks, the emotional manipulation, and the phone calls allegedly made. While the plan was going on and even made mid-hit plan. Where Charlie steps out to call mom like he's asking what toppings he wants on his pizza. But the defense, they're pushing the image of a woman who was maybe over-involved, maybe even obsessive, but not criminal. Just a grandmother who loved her family too hard and got caught up in the blast radius. Eric Faddis, defense attorney, joining us once again. You've prosecuted and defended cases where the entire outcome rested on who the jury believed was actually in control. When the evidence is mostly circumstantial, but the behavior screams domination, how do you prove orchestration versus overreach? And is Donna Adelson really the maestro or just the mother of one? Let's get into it.
Well, I think it's critically important because the prosecution is really committed to it. They've kind of, in a roundabout way, made a promise to this jury that, hey, we're going to show you how she was the architect, how she was the orchestrator. And that's a tall order. We're talking about a woman in her 70s, and you're trying to say that this woman who's, you know, the bookkeeper at a dental practice had this law professor killed by the Latin Kings gang members. That's a tall order. That's going to be a hard sell. They got to come with it. And I think, you know, Donna is certainly going to kind of play the sympathetic old grandma here. And I think the truth is probably somewhere in the middle.
Should Donna have played my faculties are failing. Look how crazy this is. I thought I should wash money. And that was 11 years ago. I am failing in the brain. And that this is just the work of someone who is deteriorating mentally and their faculties are not what they should be. And dots are connecting in weird places.
It's a common theme, Tony, and we've seen it before. We've seen it in a somewhat different way in the Robert Durst case where he, you know, is carted into the trial and he's got, you know, he's talking about the catheter he's got. He's got hooked up to machines and stuff. They want to make him look like a sympathetic old man who didn't really know what he was doing. And certainly that is a road that they could have gone. Now, in some of these communications, Donna sounds pretty lucid. She sounds pretty coherent. Sounds pretty much like she knows what she's doing, at least according to some. So I'm not sure how much they're going to go down that road. Could have been something to explore, but defense ain't doing a whole lot.
Yeah, I think they've already picked their road. Lucid, but loose cannon, I would say, at the same time. I mean, how pervasive is the testimony that Charlie consulted her repeatedly during the planning of the hit with Catherine McBonner? They're going through the conversation. Okay, now I got this my friend who can do this, or my ex who could do this or that. Hang on, let me go call mom quick. Hey, mom, they said they can do this. Does this sound like a... Okay, mom says it's okay. Okay, that we could do that. Let me call mom real quick. I mean, I'm guessing this probably occurs more than just when they're planning murder. Probably, you know, when they go to Applebee's. What flavor do you want on those wings? Okay, Charlie, we will get you the buffalo. Do you want ranch or right. blue cheese? Okay. I'm guessing it might go down to that level, considering how much we're learning about how much planning Donna still did for her adult son most of her life. But that is some strong testimony from Catherine McBona.
Oh, without question. And, you know, I think there are multiple interpretations. The prosecution's interpretation is, look, he was looping her in every step of the way because she was directly involved. She was involved financially. She was involved in terms of motive. And she wanted to be the sort of controlling, overbearing force and make sure that the deed got done. The other interpretation is, you know, I'm a mama's boy. And when things happen in my life, a lot of times I call my mom, man. And you know, I think that the defense can play that to the jury and say, hey, when you've got this child custody thing going on within the family, it's Charlie's sister, it's Donna's daughter. You know, they're close knit and they're talking about it. And talking about it is not a crime. You know, talking about the trials and tribulations of a family drama is not a crime.
But she's testifying that he's calling her while they're arranging the hit. That's the difference. I mean, how strong of an argument? I think the only argument, I mean, you tell me if I'm wrong, is that they're going to try and paint Catherine McBona as an unreliable witness. She's in prison. She's a liar. She did this. She did that. I mean, she really has no reason to lie about any of this anymore, other than for a get out of jail for a day free card. Do you think that they can successfully argue this to a jury that she's not a reliable witness, or did she come across pretty credible?
You know, one thing that the defense cannot argue forcefully, I think, is some kind of immunity deal, because Kate, the intermediary, doesn't have that. She's sentenced to prison. She's going to be in there for decades and decades. And even if she was vying for some kind of benefit, like you said, that benefit's going to be something trivial. It's going to be, you know, possibly, you know, one day out for a family funeral or something. It's not going to be, you know, we're going to take 15 years off your sentence. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be hard to cast her how the defense wants to cast her. That being said, she's been convicted being an intermediary in a murder for hire plot. She was a mistress at one point. She is involved with the Latin Kings gang. There are some shady aspects to her as well.
There's shady aspects, but those shady aspects prove her connection to being able to pull all this off. Obviously, the fact that she's in prison for it also proves that she was able to pull it off. Does the prosecution need to prove that Donna was the mastermind of all this, or just that she knowingly helped facilitate the crime, just had the conversations, never said to Charlie, go do the hit on this day, but just here's all these ideas. And she could, I never thought we would do it. I was just saying these things in hate and in angst and in all that. I didn't mean for someone to go kill him, you know, the same way, basically the same defense that Wendy throws out there.
You bring up an important point, Tony, because the prosecution can sometimes overcommit. They can overpromise. They can say, hey, look, she was the orchestrator. She was the mastermind, the architect behind all of this. But that's not the legal standard. The legal standard essentially is that Donna Adelson knew what was going to happen, wanted it to happen, had the mental state that she wanted it to happen, and provided an act in furtherance for that to happen. That's it. It doesn't mean that she needs to be sort of the maestro behind the scenes, conducting all of this. And I'll note that Charlie Adelson's license plate actually says maestro. And so I bet the defense is going to bring that up in combating this theme from the prosecution that Donna's the mastermind.
It almost feels a little bit like Charlie wanted to be Donna, like he's the mini Donna, the Donna in training in some weird Norman Bates-ish sort of way that doesn't involve, you know, that. But who knows? I mean, I guess anything's possible here with the Adelson family. If the jurors buy the mastermind narrative, I mean, how is that going to look when it comes to sentencing? What kind of stake does that hold?
Oh, gosh. I mean, when, as a judge, when you have a case involving multiple alleged culprits, the judge is always trying to determine who's more blameworthy, who's more culpable, who deserves the most punishment, and who might deserve less. And so when we're talking about a case like this, the head honcho, the one at the top, the one who's calling the shots, you better believe that that person is going to be the most blameworthy if convicted. And so the judge is going to take that into consideration. And if she is convicted, the judge is going to bring down the hammer.
Wendy's ex-boyfriend took the stand. And I thought, said a lot of damning things more about Wendy than Donna, actually, when it came to talking about suspicion of her knowledge of this, canceling that trip, that vacation right before, because she was worried about not being able to pick up the kids from school, like 48 hours, basically, after the plane landed the next day at 5 o'clock. They were coming in early the day prior, but it was the specific day that Danny was murdered. There was a lot of question. And then the questions about, oh, where are you going to be at this point in time in your day? Almost, if you read the tea leaves, hinting at, well, were they searching for someone to pin a blame on here? This jealous boyfriend going and killing her ex out of rage, which obviously this man just seems like the last thing next to a killer. Is Wendy next? Is the question. Is Wendy next? I mean, are we seeing more dominoes falling here? I know she's got the immunity with her testimony, but the other testimony does not look very favorable to Wendy. And we've seen them kind of pick them off one by one as these trials have gone on.
Yeah, one thing to keep in mind about immunity is that it's limited in scope. So what essentially it means, I believe, in this case, is that anything Wendy says on the stand can't be used against her. But that doesn't go for what other people say on the stand. Yeah. That doesn't go for investigations that are peripheral and going on outside of that courtroom. And yes, I think my interpretation of the boyfriend's testimony was that Wendy may have been trying to kind of put this on him. And in fact, my understanding is that the killers may have used a vehicle that was substantially similar to the boyfriend's vehicle as an added measure to try to place the blame on him. So the cards have fallen one by one of the Adelson family. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see charges coming down for Wendy at some point.
Would they have already charged Wendy, or what is there a strategy to this? Does it make sense? Just like Donna wasn't charged right away. I mean, they had a lot of information already, or is there a piece here? Is there a chunk of information that they're hoping to glean out of this trial that adds that extra block to the Jenga tower that says, yes, we can now charge Wendy?
Well, keep in mind, I mean, this case, the killing itself happened more than 10 years ago. And so this has been a slow play the entire time. Donna wasn't immediately charged. And so the fact that she hasn't been charged yet is no guarantee that she would not be charged. And in fact, during these trials, what the prosecution is getting is they are getting sworn testimony under oath, not just a witness statement that you go to, you know, cop goes to somebody's house, get some information. No, this is sworn testimony under oath from these witnesses. That is compelling and valuable, and that could help the prosecution meet their burden of probable cause to charge somebody. It can help them meet their burden later on at trial, proof beyond a reasonable doubt. And so the fact that they're still accumulating evidence is not uncommon, and Wendy's not out of the woods.
What about Harvey? We don't hear much about Harvey in any of this other than he was at the airport with a ticket. We don't hear him intertwined like we do Wendy or Charlie, or he's there. He seems to be the passive guy that was the perfect, you know, husband for someone like Donna Adelson, or captive slave, however you'd like to look at it. It doesn't seem to look very good, but do you think that he has any chance of being charged in any of this, or would he have already been charged with Donna simultaneously?
I'm wondering if they thought they had evidence of parental involvement. So clearly Donna, they've charged her. It would make sense to charge both parents at the same time. You know, maybe they're waiting to see if Donna's going to testify, which she said that she is. and maybe they're going to ask about Harvey in there. Maybe they're going to get some sworn testimony regarding Harvey. I don't know. But I just haven't read reports that implicate him nearly as directly and compellingly as some of the other agencies.
I almost forgot about Donna saying that she's going to testify, because these early witnesses have been so interesting and so compelling. Do you think the obviously speculation by the time people may be watching this and whatnot, we are maybe already be into the defense side of things. Do you think Donna's going to be the only witness for the defense, or is there going to be others? Is Donna just going to go up there and she thinks she's going to correct the story, change the narrative, calm everybody down, bake a couple cookies, have some Sharkleberry Finn Kool-Aid, watch some after-school TV specials, and call it a day?
Well, how wholesome that sounds. But, would that be consistent with someone who's been described as controlling, someone who is sort of overbearing, who wants to have their hand in everything and make sure that they're able to convey what they want to convey? Certainly is. And so then she could seal her own fate up there. We saw that with Charlie Adelson, who couldn't resist testifying. And now he's in a box for the rest of his life.
If jurors walk away believing that Donna Adelson masterminded the hit on Dan Markell to keep the grandkids nearby, she's done. That's the linchpin. Because once you buy the motive, everything else clicks into place. The money trail, the panic, the paper towels full of wet cash, the one-way ticket to Vietnam, it all becomes a fallout of a plan that started at the top. But if the jurors instead believe Donna was just the loudest voice in the dysfunctional family, controlling, yes, manipulative, probably criminal, yeah, maybe, maybe not, then there's room for doubt. And in a courtroom, doubt is everything. The defense doesn't have to convince the jury Donna is innocent. They just have to convince them that she's not the worst. That Charlie went rogue. Donna's just another parent who says crazy things out loud but doesn't mean them. And then signs whatever lands on her desk without reading it. That, yes, she talked about Dan Markell like a problem to be solved, but she never pulled the trigger, figuratively or otherwise. But that's the fine line to walk. And jurors may already be walking it with a side eye towards Donna's every move, because masterminds don't always twirl mustaches. Sometimes they just sign checks as too many questions and raise sons who call them mid-murder. The jury's not just deciding if Donna's guilty. They're deciding how much control she really had. And in this family, control was everything. Tell me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. And press subscribe while you're there. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi to find us there or wherever you get podcasts. Love to get your thoughts on this case on YouTube. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com. This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com. This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.